My dad is much faster than me. All right. We'll do the first and second.
Thank you for your great singing. By the way, I'm just encouraged with the amount of services that we get to go to in each and every week, and that we get to see, and we still have the technology capabilities to be able to do. And for those that want to stay home, they still have that opportunity to be able to see it from home. So I'm just so thankful for that, aren't you? And some churches don't feel like they're ready and able to be able to open up, or they don't have the technology. So I'm just very thankful for what God has provided before this pandemic even started, or however you want to describe it. What a blessing. We didn't have to scramble necessarily as much as everybody else did. And it's clear. It's clear. I love watching something that's clear, not all glitchy like Minecraft. I still don't understand how kids can play that. But anyway, Job chapter 18. The title of this is My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. So as you're on your way to that, Job chapter 18, verse 19. As you're preparing for next week, I've done this twice, having a day of prayer, both of them at Dayton Center. Obviously, it was not here. This is something new for you. But what I noticed, that is, the closer that I got to the date, the more attacks that I received from Satan. I just want to tell you that. Because I think that prayer is such a powerful thing. And when you notice revival happening, you notice that there's prayer behind it. Because they're seeking the one who gives the power to change people's lives. And if you want something to happen in Taylorville and the communities surrounding, some of you are from farther out, Chatham, Pena, Tower Hill, whatever it might be, Awanico, Millersville, we don't want to leave those out. And there's so many more. I mean, if we want our community to benefit in any way, it has to be through the gospel. Folks, we have to be prepared, and don't get discouraged when things go wrong this week, because we think that they're going wrong. Just be prepared that Satan will try to get each and every one of us to stay away from our services next week. He will wear you down. I remember one of our day of prayers in the week beforehand, I had preached and taught 15 times in just different services. And so I was just worn out. I remember getting up and just going up and ready to present this brand new thing to Dayton. And I said, you know what? I have no energy whatsoever. It has to be God to be able to take us through that. And what a blessing it was within our church family. Things came out. People got things fixed. And it was great just to be able to see. It wasn't Pastor Taylor that did it. It wasn't anybody special within the congregation that did it. It was God that did it. So I just ask for your prayer as we go forward. Be praying. If you wake up in the middle of the night, pray. Pray. There's a reason why you woke up in the middle of the night besides just going to the bathroom, okay? I know we all probably struggle with that, at least for adults. You know, you have to get up five times because you ate too much watermelon the night before. And but yet, you know what? There's an opportunity there that God wants us to grasp. There's a time, a moment when everything else is silent. And for us to be able to pray and ask God's blessing and ask God for perseverance and ask God for truth. And ask God for the right kind of education. Those are going to be our focus prayers for our morning service this next week. So I'm very excited about this. I think God can do a wonderful thing here. We just got to be open and willing. So My Redeemer Lives, we're going to get through round number two with Bildad. He's going to do the attack. Job is going to respond. And so I think you will begin to again see that there is a misunderstanding of who God is and how he works, and that we cannot grasp everything that God is going to do. Just as Pastor was preaching this morning in Esther's situation, again, we don't know all the details, and we don't have to go searching for all of them that aren't even there. We try to make up stuff, and we get really off base, don't we? Just trying to search for things that aren't put in Scripture. And so what do? We try to assess it and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with the rest. Why was Esther put in this situation? Well, we'll know why, but they had to get there first. Why was Job put in this situation? Well, we know why, but we had to go through all of this first. And for to see the foreshadowing of what's to come of Jesus and what he's going to do, and how Job even points to Jesus when he doesn't even know who Jesus is. How cool. And for throughout Job, you will actually see some scientific knowledge that supposedly we just came up with. I was reading about how in Job describes the water cycle and how it evaporates up into the air, it goes in clouds, and then it comes back down, rains, and then it just keeps circulating. You remember when you discovered that in first grade, right? And they taught you about the water. Well, that's how the oceans keep full, right? And then the rivers and everything else that goes on. That's how it all works. He talks about that, but supposedly, some guy, the founder of the water cycle, was somewhere around the 15th century. But then they didn't finalize their discovery until the 19th century. Really? I'm pretty sure Job already knew about it. And it was right after the flood, folks. Where do we go for truth? The Word of God. Oh man, that's the blessing of what we get to rest on. And so when we're getting into this, they might have a misunderstanding of who God is, but they will see who God is by the end. Believe me, if you have not read ahead, which you're allowed to do that, by the way, you're allowed to read ahead and to see what happens and to try to figure it out for yourself before you even, it'd be like you got a preemptive strike on all of this ahead of time. And then when you come in, you can say, well, Pastor Taylor, this is what you're supposed to say for this evening. No, you can't say that, but you can help me out, okay? Give me some input of what God helped you with, you know, that week before, or how you've seen God work in your life. So in Job chapter 18 and verse 19, I actually want to warn you of something. In our counseling and our helping each other out, it feels like we need to just kind of rush the situation, fix the person and get it over with, right? kind of like, you know, a child. They come to you crying. And the easiest thing for me to do as a dad, soak it up. Shut them tear glands off. But you know, that never fixed anything, did it? And when they come to you in pain or some sort of situation and they're reaching out and they're crying, sometimes it's for attention, but in other times they are in real need, whether it be physically or emotionally. Have you ever noticed that? And it could be some off-wall thing that you had no idea we were even dealing with this kind of a situation right now. But because you took the time to actually try to understand the child, you figured it out. They were able to help you. And maybe sometimes they don't know how to communicate that need. Sometimes they just say their tummy hurts. Have you ever gotten this where all of a sudden we've been experiencing this a lot lately? My tummy hurts. Well, there's food right in front of you. You haven't eaten for a couple of hours. You should probably eat so your tummy starts feeling better. Oh, okay. Then they figure it out. But you know that happens with adults too? Not like Barry goes off to Michelle and says, my tummy hurts, and she has to tell him, well, go and eat some food, okay? Get you a snack. Maybe us men have to be told that sometimes. Well, is supper ready? Just get a snack. I'm still trying to make it, you know? But we have to assess and listen and understand the situation before we respond. Isn't that true? But sometimes we rush to try to fix the situation. It's just like this COVID-19 thing, right? You want to know how many plans Pastor and I have made up in the amount of the last couple of months? More plans than we've ever made in our lifetime, I imagine. Because we think that we're going to jump ahead in something, and then all of a sudden, somebody makes a different decision, and then we have to reassess the situation because it changes everything. That's just like what he was talking about in the Wednesday nights. Yes, we would love to just jump back into Wednesday nights, but then is it the wisest thing at this moment? That's what we have to assess. But we can't just jump. We got to walk slowly in this circumstance because of the amount of fear that people have, correct? It's just like as you watched the news last week, okay, you noticed that First Baptist in Pena had a COVID positive, okay? And what's the first response of everybody, or at least a lot of people? Shut it down. I can't believe these churches are opening up. And yet, if we would actually assess the situation and just take a step back, and we noticed that Walmart had one and didn't shut down, but we would keep our peace in both situations, maybe the folks around us would be able to see a peace that passes all understanding. But what's the temptation? I mean, come on. Did y'all feel it? I can't believe they didn't shut down. I mean, come on, it's Walmart. Sorry for those of you that walk at or work at Walmart or McDonald's or Walgreens or whatever else it was. Okay, so we're just trying to reassess. We can't just fix it right now. It's trying to figure out people. And what's the best way? What's the wisest way? And how to help people. I mean, even in next week, in the day of prayer, some of you might not feel comfortable fellowshipping and eating for that extended period of time. So what do? We gave you an option to go, grab something, eat by yourself, and come back. Why? Because we're trying to assess and move in a wise pace to where we're trying to help everyone out as best we could. Can we fix everything? No. But we've got to walk a correct pace. They say, this is a very long intro, but there's for a purpose. How many of you in this last week struggled with the education response of everyone going remote learning? Okay, it really messed up my plans. because I chose on the survey in school. And that's supposed to change it. Okay? And I understand that this is a very basic temptation that we're going to struggle with. But I want us to try to overcome our discomfort to see the needs of those, the true needs in our society right now. Because if we would have just taken a step back and reassessed the situation, I think we would have probably dropped to our knees and prayed. Why? Not over my children. I mean, my daughter, she'll deal with it. She hates doing school at home because Ken's always bothering her and trying to do her homework for her and messes it up. But yes, it's a little bit more difficult. It's all on my wife. Sorry. And then I try to go and, you know, give her that extra input that might be needed, okay? But if I can overcome that for just a second and then realize that there is so much more going on in our situation that we should be in prayer for and should be looking out for, is the fact that now all of these children who are at home for an extended period of time could be put at a higher risk of exposure to alcohol abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, toxic relationships, homes that don't have food. Because despite the fact that food is being given and provided, not all of the families go and pick up the food. And so all of a sudden, I took a step, and believe me, this really just smacked me up over the side of the head this past week. It really did. Because I had to take a step back and think of all of those who are without, and what am I going to do about it? How am I going to pray? How am I going to focus my attention either on complaining and just trying to tell people to deal with it, or pray and reaching out? Just like this Need to Read program. I am so excited about this. Probably more excited that I didn't come up with the idea, okay? You know, because my idea is kind of sometimes. But anyway, I think this is going to be great. Why? Because reading is so important. And self-esteem goes down the toilet whenever we don't know how to read. And if you haven't been able to assess that within kids, go back and work in Wednesday night program for a little while. Or even in the teen program. When you might have, and this wasn't a situation here, but when you might have teenagers that don't know how to read the basic things, or don't know the months out of the year, you will be awakened to the reality of our world. And not only that, but if you're bothered by all the protesting that is going on, okay, be bothered by this. In Cook County, I just related this to Carlton tonight, in Cook County, the Black suicide rate has already overcome last year. Maybe let's rise that to the top of the concerns. But child sex trafficking is such a big deal. And they're releasing toys out on the shelves that are so inappropriate. If you haven't seen that this past week, just be careful with what you allow your child to watch and to play with and what they could be grooming you for. We cannot just say this is America and release and be free. We have to use parenting as a verb and to care. And to see our job as a parent to actually rise up and to go out and care. Because in this moment, you will see that as Bill Dad jumps into this, he's going to throw out an accusation and he's just trying to clear it up. Let's clear this mess up and let's get out. And what happens in a debate when you're just trying to win? You beat up the other side with your words. Have you seen any of that, heard any of that within America today? We choose just not to listen. So as you jump into this, in chapter 18, it starts out here in verse number 1. And this is Bildad grasping for straws. And we will say it's not plastic straws. It's paper straws or whatever. It's just to be safe for the world today. I'm just kidding. Anyway, he's grasping for straws. Says, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will it ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. So how long are you going to talk? And then let me know so then we can actually speak. Isn't that a little ironic? Isn't he speaking already? But isn't that how stupid we get in the midst of an argument? So when are you just going to be quiet so I can actually speak when you're actually speaking? How did you make those words? You were speaking. But I want to exaggerate the situation to make you feel bad. Right? And he goes on and he says, wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? What is he reaching back to? He's reaching back to chapter 12 when Job was stating that the animals have more wisdom and understanding who is God. So, oh, now I'm lesser and vile, more vile than the animals, right? Is that what your point was? No, he's saying, listen, creation knows who God is. That was not an attack. But there is a lesson to be learned. Why don't you learn from them? And he goes on and he says, he teareth himself in anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of his place? And what he talks about is Job actually stated back in chapter 16 about how God was tearing at him. And he says, no, you're tearing at yourself. And do we just need to take the earth and kick it to the side for the sake of you, Job? Or should we move all that is already there? Should we just move everything and make sure that everything's focused on you, Job? Is this your point? Is this what you're trying to get at? Exaggerated, isn't it? Out of proportion. Especially for someone who has lost just about everything. And feels like God is attacking him. That's not how you fix a person, but that's what he's reaching for. He's grasping at straws. And then comes Bildad's indirect attack. If I can label this with someone else, let's just talk about the wicked, but yet talk about a lot of your circumstances, Job. It's an indirect way of trying to make a point. Have you ever done that? Well, so-and-so did this, and, you know, it's just doing the exact same thing that you're talking about with another person, and I can't believe that they would do such a thing. Oh, is that what you did? And here he goes in, and he's labeling off the wicked, just like they've done so many times. Verse 5, yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. There will be darkness. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, in his home, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened. And you say, what does that mean? Isn't that reflection of the righteous there? No, that's kind of like whenever you go into the Walmart toy section with your child. Do you just let them roam free? Or do you say, this section only? You can have an option here. Or, you know, if you're trying to pick out, if you're going to Tasty Treat after the service, now you're going to get really hungry, right? And you're going up there, and you know what I tell my kids? Vanilla, chocolate, or twist? Do I tell them the 17 flavors that are up there? No, I would never get out of Tasty Treat parking lot. It already takes long enough, doesn't it? Okay? And so you just give them, you straighten up the options. You channel them, you focus them in. And he's saying, listen, you are all the way out here, and yet you've been limited down. You've been funneled down to this. This is what happens. And it goes on and it says, and in his own counsel shall cast him down. This is what you've been funneled down to. Your own counsel will cast you down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel. That is a trap. Okay? The gin is, it could be a bird trap or any type of trap in order to capture. And so it says, the gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. Do you know what they used to do? They used to set traps for robbers. If they were having a robber issue, they would set it, and then hopefully it would catch the robber so that they could take the robber in and be able to deal with them. They didn't have security cameras back then, so they just created other means. They were a little bit more creative about it, which gives me some ideas. But anyway, I should probably not go down that path. But anyway, but there was a trap set. And what it's basically stating is the trap that you set has caught you. You've stepped in your own trap and the robber got away. He's prospered. That's what happened to the wicked. The snare is laid for him in the ground and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side and shall drive him to his feet. What? Why? To run. You cannot rest. Constantly moving because of the terrors that you're facing. His strength shall be hunger bitten or hungry, and that your strength is constantly searching. You're constantly searching for more. It's always lacking. And destruction shall be ready at his side and shall devour the strength of his skin. Oh, who's having skin problems right now? Job. The boils that is covering from head to toe, and he's taking broken pot shards and scraping his skin. That's disgusting, isn't it? Let's put it into reality. What is he dealing with? Let's not escape from the reality of where he is. And it goes on, it shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength, or the top disease, or the strongest disease of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors, the tent. The tent, the dwelling place, place where you can find confidence. Do you find confidence in your home? I mean, you go over to somebody else's house. Maybe some of you do this, but you probably shouldn't, okay? You go over to somebody else's house, you're a little nervous, don't you? Aren't you? Okay? You make sure you take off your shoes, and you go in, and you sit down, and you kind of keep really close, and the whole entire family sits on one couch, even though you can't fit, because all the kids are nervous, right? Because it's a new place, and except for Ken, who goes around and breaks everything, and we have to chase him around the whole entire place. But you don't go searching down their hallways and into their cabinets, do you? You shouldn't, okay? Unless they give you permission. Please don't go searching through my cabinets. You will be scared. But as you go through that, your place of confidence, where you're most comfortable, where you can sit back and relax, where you would do things that you wouldn't do at somebody else's place, you now have no confidence. You're so afraid. It says here, his confidence shall be uprooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. He shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. Brimstone is not like a fertilizer, folks. It's not a cloudy blanket. It's destruction. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branches be cut off. Usually when that happens, a tree does not really last. Get rid of the root system, cut everything up top. It's done for. This is the description. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Who's that describing? Well, it feels like Job. No more kids to take on the name. He went from here to nowhere. At least that's where it feels. That's what he feels. This is not good counseling, folks. It is destructive. It is one-sided. You don't care about the other. You don't care about building up. You're burning bridges. This only hurts. Verse 20, they that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is a place of him that knoweth not God. Really? So now Job doesn't even know God? Well, that's kind of what they've been stating. You don't understand God. This is how God works. Do you even search him out? If you'd only go before him, everything would be fixed. Everything would be fine and dandy. Just fix it, Job. Now, let me ask you one thing. Have you ever been around someone who's been abused in the home? Was it their fault? No. Can we turn around and say that this judgment that has been done to you is because of your wickedness? No. First of all, we don't know. We don't know the full expanse of whatever that they're going through, living through on a day-to-day basis, because we go back to the comforts of our own home and cherish the fact of, you know, my family. I love my family. I do. I love my family. We can go back and we can enjoy one another. Yeah, we fight every once in a while. Yes, the pastor's family fights every once in a while. My kids scream at each other. But we love each other. And we can go to bed at night and rest. Rest. Some people cannot do that. And if we respond and only, this must be your sin. We are not understanding and opening. We're just trying to fix it and wipe it away and another notch on our belt. You know what I'm saying? Are you taking that in? Sometimes we get just so angry with everyone that's going on. Our community is going to meth or pot or whatever it is. And yet, when was the last time that we reached out and tried to help those who felt like the only path was meth? That was their only way out. Their only path was alcohol. Or any other addiction. Let's just put it out there. Some people are in financial distress because they think that that's the only thing that will fix them is to go out and go shopping. So society tells me I could just keep getting another credit card. And yet, what is one of the top reasons why divorce happens? Financial issues. Top reasons, folks. Well, you got to get a credit score. So go out and get another credit card. It'll help you out. It'll fix all your problems. Well, if you get another allotment here, or you get a payday quick loan, or if you get a, go on that app. There's a new app that you can get your paycheck early. And some of us might make fun of that, but people are doing it because they feel like that's their only out. So do we just sit back and critique? Or do we reach in and exhort? What's a better method of counseling? What is it? It's to reach in and exhort, not for them to sit down on some couch and talk about self-empowerment. Now they're the victim of everything. No. Let's see Jesus and look to the author and finisher of our faith and run our Christian race. And let's lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily beset us. How about that? Let's do this together. Let's disciple. I'm so pumped about the sister to sister here. That whole idea is behind women teaching women how to live life. Not just to expect you to know everything because their mama told them everything, but to help live life. And this is the pushing forward in the counseling situation that is at hand. Man, I got to keep going. Chapter 19. Job responds to Bildad, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul?" Is that a good description? "And break me in pieces with words." What's that saying that I used to say in kindergarten? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me." Anybody ever heard that before? I imagine Jackie has heard that a million times on the playground, right? Or in class or whatever it might be, because we try to be all tough. I think I would rather get punched in the face than to have something said behind my back. And I've had things said behind my back, and I've been punched in the face. I know what it feels like. I still would rather be punched in the face. Because the sowing seeds of discord go so much farther than a punch in the face. And here he is. "How long will you vex my soul? Break me in pieces with words." He's not calling out that childish saying. He understands what he's getting hit with. "These 10 times have you reproached me. You're not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me." It's as if we're not even friends anymore. You've totally lost that relationship. This is how you're acting. "And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If I caused the issue, this is my problem." Hasn't he already stated, "Just leave me alone"? And they just keep coming back with more because they have to fix this guy. They got to fix him. He says, "If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net." You're going to keep coming against me? He's saying, this is my response to you. And you jump into six. This is God. I mean, this is God because he doesn't understand. His view of the sovereignty of God is misbalanced. It is. Because they think that every single bad thing that happens to them was hit by God on them. I mean, it was like a missile from God that came and hit them. Is that the truth in this equation? God allowed it, but did God do it? Satan is the one that brought it. And he has not brought Satan into this equation. It's got to be God that has purposed this against me. So here's God's depiction, or Job's depiction of God and everyone else that's going on around him. And he says, "Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." He just wants a judgment. He wants it finished. He that fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. There is no more pride in this man's life. He doesn't feel like he could even stand. He's just done. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. This is Job's view of what he thinks God is doing against him. He's counted me as his enemy. This is what's going on. His troops come together, verse 12, and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. They're around my place of dwelling. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. Listen, it's nice to have family around when there's problems at hand, isn't it? You can reach out and you get wisdom. It's nice to have the church family around when problems are at hand. And I can go and reach out and get help and to find that encouragement or find some profitable critique in my life that I need to be confronted on. Yes, there are problems in my life that I need to be confronted on, right? All of us are facing that. And it's nice to be able to have that. And he's saying, I don't have that. My brother's gone. I'm all alone. It says, my kinsfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. Doesn't that happen? He's lost all of his wealth. Those that he's familiar with are gone. Have you ever seen that happen? The money's gone. The stuff is gone. The friends are gone. I had a buddy told me when he stopped smoking and drinking, all of a sudden his friends were gone. They don't think I'm fun anymore. I have nobody to hang out with. He felt all alone. I said, man, you have the church. Come on, we have all kinds of activities that we're making for you to have fellowship and to love one another and encourage one another. And there is so many ample opportunities for you to be able to be involved and to reach out and be distracted from what you used to have and to replace it with what's good. And I mean, this is okay. And he just, in that moment, he just felt all alone. Nobody wants to hang out with me anymore because I don't do that stuff anymore. I lost all my friends. He says, they that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. One of the few servants that he had left. He didn't come. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Why is his breath strange to his wife? Haven't we already dealt with that? In the sense of, she couldn't stand to see all the pain and the hurt that her, the love of her life was dealing with. So she just said, just get rid of it. Curse God and die. Curse God and be done with it. Just be done. So she's frustrated. Just be done with all of this. It says, yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. That's one thing that, you know what? Children, they love anybody, right? They don't see your skin color, your economy status. They don't see your job status. They don't see your small ears and your big eyebrows and all those things. They don't see all that. They just love you. They want to come and hang around with you, as weird as you might be, right? Maybe I'm talking about myself there, okay? My sister always made fun of me for my eyebrows, and everybody else makes fun of me for my ears. But kids still want to hang out with me. They think I'm weird, so they want to hang out with me, right? Say that the children even despised him. And I'll move quickly here. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I have loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. When he goes on, have pity on me, have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. So you get in verse 23, and it's very ironic. And I titled this, My Redeemer Lives. You say, how could Job go from this to that? But he goes on, ironically, he says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Pretty sure that they are. But they weren't at that moment. That they were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever. For I know, this is what he wants you to get, that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. It doesn't matter what's going to happen right now. It's going to come and go. And yes, God has pushed this all against me. He's misconstrued on his idea of this attack on him. But he's saying, all of this that's going wrong in my life right now, guess what? I will still stand before my God. And he's depicting Jesus Christ here, folks. My Redeemer, the one who could step in and do something that I could not do for myself. This is Jesus Christ, even though he had no idea. What's he looking forward to? Jesus Christ. Wow. He wraps it up, and I'll wrap it up real quick. Verse 28 and 29. You see, watch for yourself, he says. But ye should say, why persecute we him, saying the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. He's saying, listen, if you keep coming against me, even though you know that the problem is with me, if you keep coming against me, God will judge you. But I really want us to get onto this point. We have hope. And Job does not understand his situation right now. How many of you understand the full scope of your situation right now? Good answer. So we make plans? Nope. COVID. Make plans? Nope. COVID. How many of us understand the full scope of what's going on in our country and what's going on behind the scenes? And let's not get into conspiracy theories during the service when I'm trying to wrap it up. But how many, we don't understand, we can't know it all, but we still have hope, and that should still reign in our lives. And when I don't understand what's going on and I can't fix the problem that's right in front of me, I still know that my God can and will, and I will stand before him one day because he is my Redeemer. Praise God. And that's what we get to wrap it up with. So we don't understand all the situations that are going out in my community, your community, the homes that are right next to you, the neighbors that you talk with, the people that you walk into and see at Walmart or Aldi or wherever else you may go. You might not understand the full scope of things, but there is one truth that you can tell them. My Redeemer lives. And that's better than anything you can see on social media or on the news. I don't care what channel you watch. I don't care. It doesn't matter what's going on in your home. I may not understand it, but my God, my Jesus lives. If you have not been saved, tonight should be the night. Why? Why would you go on any longer without being saved and being able to trust that your Redeemer lives? But then if you're here tonight and you're saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm not acting like my Redeemer lives, maybe in our time of prayer, you should focus on that. So you can have the peace that passes all understanding, and that you could be that light to all those around you, to be that balance to their lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for, again, all that you've done. God, we can get so involved in these chapters that you've laid before us. And God, there is so much raw emotion being played out here. And these are real human beings that trying to fix a situation, but just don't understand God fully. And they're just trying to understand the situation and still don't understand God fully. But there is one truth that we can hold on to. God, you are eternal. You have a plan, and your plan doesn't get messed up every time there's an executive order that's played out. God, we rest in that. God, help us to help others rest in that. That during this time, we're all freaking out that our lives are messed up because of the virus, that other lives could be changed in the midst of all of this. And God, we're just reaching out to you, asking for your help in this situation to get past ourselves and seek the kingdom of you. God, we truly do love you. We ask that anyone here that doesn't know what this is all about, that they would understand salvation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a few moments as he plays through the music.